everybody. You're listening to the Shapeless Bass Podcast from podcast.shapelessbass.com.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
I'm a B-block, play one for me. What for me?
So, yeah, welcome to podcast...
15, I think.
15.
15. 15! Good Lord!
15. Yeah.
What's
How's
up?
Going?
Welcome
we
to the Big Blue House.
Two return guests here. Kristen.
Woohoo!
We remember, those of you who listened...
It's my sister.
This is Sir Mildred Pierce's sister.
From podcast 11.
Wow, she's like an encyclopedia of podcast facts.
Just those two.
Oh.
Because they're the only two that I've listened to.
She's a poorly written encyclopedia. And Mr. Void.
Yo!
Chuck.
Vixen.
Chuck Rock.
Chuckles.
Chuckles.
Static.
Charlie. Yes.
And I'm EBA.
I'm here to dance.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Visit us at podcast.shapelessmass.com. You can visit me specifically at shapelessmass.com. You can visit Kristen's website.
Just the
Flickr.
Flickr.com/photos/mooCowMama.
Moo Cow Mama.
Yes.
And Mr. Pierce?
too numerous to list.
Have we done metababy.com? I think I'm on there.
Technically not your website, but sure.
Well, if I create a website and put it on there, it will be.
Right.
I'm going to do that.
We had some responses to previous podcasts.
Yep. We have Matt from work. I think you work with
Matt
this guy.
Work. What's up, Matt?
Yo, Matt!
He says, thanks for the shout-out. Sir M, you are wrong. I am listening. To which I say, prove it. as a matter of fact, I am a subscriber. So, you know, that's cool that he subscribes. And if you don't subscribe out there, you should. I have to admit, I haven't listened to all of MassCast 13. It's a slow listen. You know, that was the music one. That was the long one, I think. Was it them? Yeah.
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 I do know that one, too.
And good thing he is a podcast subscriber, because if you do listen through iTunes, you can pick up where you left off if you stop it. So.
And remember, if you subscribe, you get the free tote bag. It's donations from people like you that keep us on the... I don't know.
Shut up.
I enjoyed this cast.
If you enjoy shows like Are You Being Served,
then you won't enjoy this.
Joke's over.
PBS fundraiser man here.
I enjoyed this cast. This is intelligence for your life. And that's in quotes, I guess. Isn't that the John Tesh show tagline? No, I don't listen to John Tesh.
Make it up.
Somebody told me about it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody else was listening to the Tesh show. EBA.
John Tesh have his own. Is it still there?
Yeah.
I didn't see all this. The one I saw was one.
EBA, the alternate movie description game is brilliant. And he says, in parentheses,
it's
in
brilliant.
British accent.
Brilliant.
I think Todd was cheating, though, which I have to kind of agree with.
How can he cheat? What the crap?
Todd, you cracked me up with the misuse of inbred.
That was rather funny.
Did you hear that?
No.
Two comments from John, our friend John Brackyeller. I guess he's listening in kind of a random order because he puts a comment on podcast 4 and... he says, ironically, I don't like pickles either. Go fig. So I don't remember exactly what that's about.
He's the pickle vampire. He wrote a poem. I thought he liked pickles. It's because he wrote a poem.
I'm the pickle juice vampire. Cuckoo,
you were there. So was she.
Vaguely, yeah. Remember? Okay, and on podcast one, he says, and it almost sounds like a continuation because
probably
he must know. Also, one of these days I'll explain Trek as a cultural phenomenon to you so that you'll get it. Maybe you'll even like it after that, I guess.
What's your point?
Star Trek. You were calling me a Trekkie?
Oh.
See? He has been listening.
That's because you are a Trekkie.
He has been listening.
So the last one we have is from my sister, but she's here, so I can read it. Or do you want me to read it? EBA, you want hate mail? You're going to get hate mail from a huge Steve Irwin fan. Me.
You're not that big.
Which means her. Not me. Her.
You're pretty small.
Yeah.
But she's a big fan.
Napoleon complex.
Who are you to judge him and compare him to Hitler? Which technically he didn't. He compared me to a Hitler lover, which is technically a different thing. So what if he brought his son into the enclosure that had a crocodile in it? The man had been around crocodiles since he was 9 years old.
Which I found out today. It's actually been since he was 7 years old.
That's in all caps. I'm pretty sure he probably knows a little bit about crocodile behavior than you give him credit for. That child was not in any more danger than a child playing on the local playground with the human predators that lurk there, which I think is kind of hyperbolous, but
yeah.
He wasn't dangling that child over the crocodile. He had himself between the child and the croc, tossing the food to said croc.
By between, you mean dangling in front? Then yes, you're 100% accurate.
It's not like
anything else is incorrect.
It's not like he tied the croc food around his child's head and dangled him by a rope over the croc's mouth. I don't see how people can focus on just one thing a person did, ignore the rest of that person's life.
Well, technically, he did it twice, so...
Think about the man's history, what he does for a living. He has spread awareness of animal rights and the situations said animal are in. Spread his love of Australia and wilderness in general. He has done so many good things with his life, and you focus on the one thing that some people think of as despicable. These are the people that don't think things through. Yeah, it would be a shitty thing to do if it was you or me doing it. People have never been around crocodiles and have no idea how they react to certain things. But I think it is acceptable for a man who had been around them for 30-some-odd years or so. Hurrah for playing the Beatles, though, you goober. I played the Beatles, but...
By that rationale, a guy who defuses bombs and has done it for 30 years and takes his son and has his son, you know, hanging around while he's defusing the bomb, same thing, right?
Maybe.
Not necessarily.
What's the difference?
Okay.
I want you to expound for me the difference.
Here's what they said.
Okay.
Who's they?
His wife.
Okay.
Whenever a family has a new baby, and he said something about this too.
He did this twice.
Whenever a family has a new baby, first thing they want to do is they want to bring home the kid and see how Fluffy, the family dog, is going to react with this kid, the new member of the family. So, to them...
A family dog doesn't weigh 300 pounds with razor-sharp teeth that can gnaw through your bone like butter.
Some of them can.
Depends on the dog.
Plenty of dogs.
How many 300-pound dogs have you seen in your life,
There's plenty of dogs.
No, besides the weight you mentioned.
I may actually be underestimating the weight of a crocodile, especially the ones he was hanging his kid with.
No, besides the weight you mentioned, but plenty of dogs have... killed babies, I mean.
Oh, sure. I admit that.
Plenty of dogs can bite 300-plus pounds just in the pressure of their jaws.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And that wasn't the only thing. And the fact that he got killed by a stingray kind of shows that maybe there might be some sort of, I don't know, danger involved with the things he's doing, you know?
That was a freak accident.
Well, and he wasn't swimming with his baby.
And he was not dangling that child over the damn crocodile.
He and I got into the same argument at Denny's, and he pulled the video up, and in the video you can see he's dangling the fucking kids, both of them, in front of the crocodile.
The angle of it looks like it is, but
he's between.
I've seen the video, and I've seen two separate photos of the first one, and every single, they're all from different angles.
Don't you think it might have been to create a little bit of sensation about what was going on, you know, oh, he's got this kid in the crocodile
pit. Let me ask you this. Do you think Michael Jackson, when he dangled his kid off the balcony, which is it's been compared to more than once, and not by
me. Which pisses me off so bad.
Well,
it pisses me off.
I think both of them were non-events.
Okay. Probably.
I think Michael Jackson made a mistake, but people who see that for some reason assume he doesn't realize that. But I think if you watch the video, he realizes within less than a second that he shouldn't be doing that, and he pulls the baby back. And
you're right. That is a fundamental difference between the two of them.
And also, that crocodile was fed before he even went into that enclosure.
So you didn't even know there was a second one. You know that for the second one, too?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's tame. It's a zoo animal.
He's not a stupid man.
He does
some crazy shit, but he's not dumb.
You're missing the point that he got killed by an animal.
But that's so freak.
And it was a freak accident. If he hadn't had that barb through his heart, he would not have died.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold up. Now, if he was at home in bed and a stingray snuck into his house, that's a freak accident, okay?
That's a murderous stingray.
Okay. And I said this before, getting struck by lightning is a freak accident. But running around in a field as a lightning expert waving a metal rod is not a freak accident when you get struck by lightning. You're putting yourself in circumstances. Steve Irwin routinely put himself in circumstances where he was involved with dangerous animals. That's the thing that people don't seem to grasp here.
Except the stingray had nothing to do with what they were doing down there.
It just happened to be there. This guy who's an expert in animals had no idea there were dangerous stingrays in the water?
Well, for the most part, stingrays aren't really that dangerous.
Yeah.
You're sidestepping my question. He didn't know?
I'm sure he knew they were there.
Yes or no? Did he know or not?
Sure, he knew he were there.
So he knew they were there.
Yeah, but I'm sure he probably wasn't expecting to get stabbed in the heart.
Well, do you know why Steve Irwin did not wear sunblock?
Oh, yeah. No.
Because he wanted to catch some killer rays.
Oh.
Did you know that Steve Irwin collected Corvettes?
No.
He kept the stingray very close to his heart. Remember, send all hate mail to SirMildredPierce@gmail.com.
Ooh.
So I'm glad we settled that. I win.
Like there's a victor. What?
And I still don't think your lightning analogy fits. So.
Really?
Yeah. Just because most chances are if you are running out in a field in the middle of a lightning storm and you do get struck by lightning, chances are you're going to die.
I'm curious.
Whereas if you're swimming with a stingray, chances are you're not going to die, even if you get stung.
When we were in Hilton Head last time I went, I heard that there was like 100 people who had like stepped on stingrays and got hit in the legs with the barbs and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like being out at the beach.
Yeah.
And jellyfish, too. I mean, I just heard about all the injuries. There were so many.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear about anybody getting the...
The only way it's lethal is the way that Steve Irwin got hit, was that barb went straight to his heart.
And that is kind of... That's a freaky thing.
That's kind of... Of all the places for him to get hit, he just happened to get hit in the one spot that was lethal. That's a freak accident.
I guess so. I'm not convinced, but okay.
Why aren't you convinced? I mean, what is... I mean, if he had died in a car accident, would you have said he had it coming? And that's kind of what you're saying, is
no.
He had it coming because he died by an animal.
I would not say that.
But they're both freak accidents.
I didn't really say he had it coming. I didn't like... let me make it clear. I'm joking about this, but I'm not applauding this.
Hey, you know what I said? The first thing I heard Steve Irwin died, I was like, oh... He got eaten by a crocodile. That's the first thing I said.
That's the first thing I thought. Was an animal involved? Yes. Okay. And I was like, that's not a surprise. That is why I can't... I mean, he could have been, like, in the middle of the ocean, and somehow a lion could have mauled him to death, and I still wouldn't have been like, that's a freak accident. Because he was still killed by an animal, which is exactly what I expected to happen to the man.
Well, that's what everybody expected to happen to him.
Okay.
But it's still...
You seem to think it's not a coincidence, though. That's what...
What?
Like a weird coincidence that he died by...
No,
by that.
By an animal that wasn't even a part of the show.
Like I said, I would think it was a weirder coincidence if one of us was even stung by a stingray. You know,
there's no point in arguing with you. He's a person who could possibly
put himself in a position where he was exposed to dangerous animals. Why are you surprised that he got attacked by a dangerous animal? I don't understand that.
It's not the attack itself that is surprising.
It's the fact that he died from it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The fact that it went straight through his heart.
As to the child crocodile thing, just to touch on that real quick, I'm curious if you guys found out that one of his kids did get mauled in that incident, like got attacked by the crocodile, would you then have feel like maybe it was irresponsible?
Well, yeah.
Or would you say, no, he wasn't being irresponsible. It was a freak accident that happened.
I would have to reevaluate his knowledge on that sort of thing, but to date, his kids haven't been mauled by crocodiles or anything like that.
He did only do it twice.
I seriously doubt that. I'm pretty sure off camera he's taken his kids near crocodiles plenty of times.
Lots of parents put their own kids in danger every day.
That's what he does for a living. That's what his parents did. That's what his parents did, and I'm sure
he's always taking his kids out to the front board in the minefield.
All right, Chad.
Here's your pogo sticks. Have fun.
This is the bicycle rack that's off of the van. I want you to grab this side with this hand, and this side with this hand, and hang on.
Because we're going to the car wash at 55 miles an hour.
Whatever you do, don't.
So. You gotta play some music?
Yeah. It is complete juxtaposition to that. I want to play St. Francis Makeshift Patriot because it's appropriate.
Cool.
Yeah, that was coming.
Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. It's the makeshift, the patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself. Be alive, telecast. Coming live from my own funeral. Beautiful weather offered a nice shine, which is suitable for a full view of a forever altered skyline. It's times like these I freestyle biased opinions. Every other sentence, my journalist ethics slip when I pass them off as objective.
Don't give me the ethical shit.
I've got exclusive explicit images to present to impressionable American kids, and it's time to show this world how big our edifice is. That's exactly what they attacked when a typically dark-skinned Disney villain used civilians against civilians and charged the Trojan horses into our building.
Using commercial aviation as instruments of destruction.
Pregnant women couldn't protect their children. Wheelchairs were stairway obstructions. I have to backpedal from the shower of glass and metal, wondering how after it settles, we'll find who provided power to radical rebels. The melting pot seems to be calling the kettle black when it boils over, but only on our own soil. So the little boy holds a toy soldier and waits for the suit and tie to come home. We won't wait till he's older before we destroy hopes for a colder war to end.
I'll get a close-up of his head.
Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast.
How's my hair look?
Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast.
Turn that tape back.
Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast.
It looks just like a movie.
It's the makeshift, the patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself while the stock markets crash. The city is covered in inches of muck. I see some other pictures of victims are up. Grieving mothers are thinking their children are stuck. Leaping lovers are making decisions to jump
while holding hands
to escape the brutal heat. Sometimes in groups of three, the fallout goes far beyond the toxic clouds where people look like debris. But all they saw after all was said beyond the talking heads was the bloody dust with legs looking like the walking dead calling for meds. But all the hospitals are overwhelmed. Volunteers need to go the hell home. Moments of silence for firefighters were interrupted by cell phones. Who's gonna make that call to increase an unknown death toll? The one we rally behind, he's got a megaphone, promising to make heads roll. We cheer him on, but asbestos is affecting our breath control. The less we know, the more they fabricate, the easier it is to sell souls.
There is a new price on freedom, so buy into it while supplies last.
Addictive 24-hour candlelight vigils and TVs. Freedom will be defended at the cost of civil liberties. The viewers are glued to television screens, stuck, cause lots of things seem too sick. I use opportunities to pluck heartstrings for theme music. I show you which culture to pump your fist at, yeah. Which foot is right to kiss. We don't really know who the culprit is yet, nah. But he looks like this. We know who the heroes are, they're not the xenophobes who act hard. We taught that dog to squat, how dare he do that shit in our own backyard. They happen to scar our financial state and char our land. Can you count how many times so far I ran back the same damn tape? While the cameraman creates news and shoves it down our throats on the West Bank with a 10-second clip put on constant loop to provoke U.S. angst. So get your tanks and load your guns and hold your sons in a family huddle. Cause even if we win this tug of war and even the score, humanity struggles. There's a need of blood for what's been uncovered under the rubble. Some of them dug for answers in the mess, but the rest were looking for trouble. Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. Makeshift Patriot,
Scene.
How about Hollywood Land? This is one I wanted to see. Have you guys heard of this?
I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it's about.
Set in late 1950s Tinseltown, this film stars Adrian Brody as a private detective hired to investigate the possibility of foul play in the reported suicide of George Reeves, television's popular Man of Steel in the series Adventures of Superman.
This is a true story?
Yeah, true-ish. Ben Affleck tries to mend his career in a supporting role as the ill-fated...
Ben Affleck tries to mend his career? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm very interested in seeing that. I like a good mystery.
Yeah. Sounds like it's probably noir, isn't it?
Sounds noir-ish.
Yeah. The previews look pretty noir.
Yeah. I like Adrian Brody, too. I'm going to give it...
I'll be the catcher.
I'm going to give it 8. Although I heard that instead of Ben Affleck, they were going to cast...
not Ben Affleck. Bam.
Whatever, with that guy from Twin Peaks. What was his name?
David Lynch?
No.
That's the guy who wrote it.
Something like McConnelly.
He's talking about the
McConnell. Anyway, how many stars are you guys going to
get? Oh my God!
7.832.
All right.
That's what I was going to say. Now I'm a copycat if I say 7.832. Hi.
Probably a 7.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be pretty good. I have a feeling I'm probably underrating it, too.
Agreed.
I want to see it because, you know, I always wondered about the mystery, you know, what happened to George Reeves, you know. I mean...
Well, this will surely solve
it
for you.
So many people say he actually thought he was Superman and he took a flying leap out of a window.
Is that how he died?
Times.
Is that how he died?
I don't know.
I thought it was the kryptonite.
It was the kryptonite. That's what did it.
what's your rating?
I'm going to go with 8. You know, anything Superman is okay in my book.
All right. Idlewild. Have you heard of this?
The Outcast movie.
Yep. Set in the Prohibition-era South, Idlewild follows the plight of speakeasy manager Rooster and his pianist, Percival, as they try to keep gangsters from overtaking their club.
You want to repeat that last line?
The film stars and features music from the guys from Outcast.
Yeah. Can you hear me back in middle school there?
Good. Come on, Rooster. A rooster is a cock and a pianist. And what do you want from me?
Pianist is a guy who plays piano.
Chuck is giving it a 10. I can tell.
As long as there's a large pianist in it.
I'll have to say 8.5 just because it's Outcast.
Well, here's the thing, okay? That's interesting is it's a musical, first of all.
Mm.
And everything I've read about it pretty much says that it's Disney goes adult. So, like, for instance, it's a very violent movie. They animated the bullets. Mm-hmm. Like, they're cartoon bullets. I'm not making this up. And stuff like that. And I was like, I'm going to go see that. That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Sounds like a 7 to me.
Yeah, I'm inclined to give more like an 8.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, you know, I don't know if they're good actors or not, but I have yet to see anything Outcast is associated with be bad, except maybe for Cool Breeze, I think. He was like the worst thing on his own album.
6. Just to be different from everyone else.
Oh, you suck.
I like Outkast, but here's a reason. Here's a valid reason to not give it a high rating. So many movies here lately, Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge, you know, and like A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger. They take all these songs that are like more current and they put them back in ancient history. And
supposedly the soundtrack's very like retro hip hop.
It really irritates the crap out of me that movies do that. Yeah. Like in Night's Tale, when they all started doing, the crowd starts going, we will.
I like that.
Rock you. I'm like, what the crap is this? This is supposed to be like, fam-aided. You know? And yeah, they're singing Queen. No. No.
They're doing that, I think, with the new Sofia Coppola movie, too. With the Marie Antoinette movie.
What movie's that?
Marie Antoinette. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's got the new music set in the old time period.
That pisses me off.
The Wicker Man.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage stars as a police officer who travels to a...
Don't pull me over, Mr. Officer.
I'm not as drunk as you're drunk I am.
Who travels to a secluded island to search for the daughter of his ex-love. That's a new plot point there.
Yeah.
What he discovers are sinister forces at work in a pagan society where there are strange sexual rituals and possible human sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I suspect they've taken the whole he's like uber conservative element out of it, which I think is like one of the central focuses of the original film, mm-hmm. You know? In the original film, the police officer's like stuffed shirt, like virginal.
Uptight.
And like this strong aversion to sex and anything sexual, and he gets on this assignment to follow this kidnapped girl. You know,
she's a hoe.
Discovers there's more. It's like this really complex plot. I won't reveal the twist ending at all, but the whole thing is them trying to corrupt and pervert him, and he's offended. And that's a major element of the film, wouldn't you say?
Well, they're not trying to corrupt him. I don't think.
They're playing off of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's the one girl who I think is really probably the most, I don't know, moral person in the whole movie, because she tries to save him, basically.
Yeah.
If she can seduce him, she would have saved him.
But we're giving too much away.
Yeah.
Now I know the whole plot.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's a really good movie. Kind of cheesy in a couple spots. This one's rated PG-13.
So there's no boobies.
How can you make a movie about sex
with no boobies?
Rated PG-13.
Hooray for boobies!
I think the only thing I wouldn't like about that, just from that little blurb right there,
is Nicolas Cage.
I love Nicolas Cage.
He has a cat forward face.
But no, I think it's going to give paganism a bad name. It's already got a really bad name, and that just seems like it's going to make it worse.
Oh, drat.
I found that a lot of pagans really like the original movie, though. And I don't think the original movie really paints paganism in a very
good way. The bad guys.
Just the kinda, way that little
such
blurb
a complex
describes
thing,
it
you know?
Is, you know, sex rights. You know, that's all they do. That human sacrifice.
They can take the Maypole song out. If it doesn't have Gently Johnny, then... The people who made that film, including Nicolas Cage, can be taken outside and shot.
I wouldn't care if they didn't have any of the original music, but I wonder if they're going to introduce any actual like supernatural elements to it, which I'm a little worried about.
Yeah. Probably.
I think I vaguely remember something in a preview that kind of made me think there might be. So, whatever. I'll give it six.
Oh, I'm giving it three. My opinion has been swayed by Rotten Tomatoes, where it's been bashed, like trashed. Not as bad as Zoom. I was really excited when I first heard they were doing it. And see, Nicolas Cage is supposed to be in the remake of Old Boy too.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he might be able to trash two really good foreign films.
What about you, Chuck?
In remakes, yeah.
Well, it seems like they're kind of getting to a point now where... like everything's a remake of something else, you know, and I bet they're gonna follow the same plot, and you know, so I'll give it like.
I will say this about remakes: I would much prefer they definitely go farther away from the source material than most people. People always want it to be just like the original.
Yeah, I can
or they always kind of they always accuse it of trashing the original if they don't follow the original. And I think the opposite should be done. Because I mean, don't you want something new when you see a remake? Why do you want to see the same thing over again? You know.
Well, sometimes it's a treatment type thing. I mean, like I thought the Psycho remake, while not stellar, was genius in and of itself the way it was executed. Mm.
Seemed like. Like a waste of money to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because of
just colorize the original.
I liked it. I mean, but I loved the original, so that was really the same thing.
Sometimes I'd like to see. I always wonder, like some of the older films, how much better they would be if they had, you know, like King Kong. Mm-hmm. Okay, was actually pretty faithful to the original story. And I think it was great because the effects were there
to
really properly portray it. And I think that's a movie where being faithful to the original. In fact, I don't know if you know this. Some of the stuff that's in this one that people go, that wasn't the original. Actually, it was. They even filmed it. It was in the script, and they a lot of it, like dinosaurs and stuff they filmed, they just didn't feel like it portrayed the effects were properly right. on it. I think that's, you know, like, I mean, that's something where he, you know, Peter Jackson still lent his vision to it without, you know, deviating too far from the original source material.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good, you know, that's one of the best movies, I think, of certainly of the year.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Yeah. I like the King Kong.
What? That's so. I got something to say, but I'm not going to say it. Smile.
Mm-mm.
And that's a, I'm trying to hide it.
No.
No, it's
these movies that you're talking about. I've either seen the original or the remake, not both, really? So I can't really. I did not know that Wicker Man was a remake.
Yeah, we're gonna play another song.
All right.
I think
this is from an album that I guess we're never gonna finish.
I think we need to start it over.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe this is from an EP, I guess.
There you go.
It's called Super Guns by Apex Zero, which is me and Void.
Back to hurt, I return, burn on entry alert, the sentry I discern, good and bad, panoptic come, fan the flames, inflame the song, frame the wrong man, land, and cup the wrong hands, one day, some way, the tower will melt to sand, see it all from the pinnacle, miserable. But never fact in the same mind frame that put me in jeopardy. I came back. No, you don't. No, you won't. No, you can't. So I change. I'm not here. Persevere. Seeing clear. Being near. Being bold. Being told what to do. Who to listen to. Missing you. Twisting through. Holes, turn the world on its poles. Feeling cold, reeling old. Feeling soul, reeling gold. Keeping untold stash. I do it, take a bit, think of it. What you want, what you shut. Out of all of this worthless work. And you still come to blame. With a virus in your brain. As the rain then stops, water drops down the drain. Frown and strain, helping pain. All along, you were strong. And you like but you can't, I am gone! Away, guys, today no more to say. Sick, you tired of your hot, quiet plague time. My grandfather almost disappeared. Cause the world is even sicker than I ever feared. Top of what I thought was gold, but I don't need gold. The stick holes and the shoes full of steel. How can you ever think over something you would ever know? How I feel, surreal. But I know how you feel inside. Trapped like you go to the last draft in a world of pride.
unsure what to do. I'm through with this wickedness. I'm leaving and don't care if you believe me or not. I've got nothing else to do. I'm being selfish, untrue. I really care. Commiserate, appreciate. When I say the way of those who claim you hate, you make it worse, I make it strong. I can't take it. I took it all along, but I didn't have to take it. So I am gone, gone, gone.
Apex Zero with Super Gone. Did you like that one, Kristen?
Yes. Yes, I did.
It was great.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
This day in history.
Ooh, did anything crash?
Plane crashes?
Nah, unfortunately.
Yes? Don't lie.
Huh?
Something crashed.
Oh, the
dude,
lunar thing. Okay, let's start with 1752. The British Empire adopts the Gregorian calendar. Skipping 11 days. The previous day was September 2nd. So now we're on the Gregorian calendar because of that.
Ah.
So, do you remember why we switched?
Days 12.
It was... everything was getting out of whack.
Madness.
Because the old calendar wasn't quite precise enough. So.
The new one isn't either, right?
It's pretty close. It's close enough.
It's closer.
We just leave out a leap year every once in a while.
Come on, sectarian time.
In 1812, French grenadiers enter Moscow. I just like saying the word grenadier, so I included that one.
Isn't that the stuff they put in, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it to is. Make, like, cherry, like, you know?
Yeah.
Close, yeah. The grenadiers are people that use grenades.
Grenadine.
And that's where we, like in comics, where you see, like...
Here's my joke. Step it all over it.
Step in my head when I'm drowning. Thanks, buddy.
Or when you see in, like, a comic where they, you know, when somebody uses a bomb with a little fuse coming out, that's where that comes from.
I didn't believe that was real until I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, the factual...
1901... The President of the United States, William McKinley, dies after an assassination attempt on September 6th and is succeeded by Theodore Roosevelt.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Why did we ever elect Kinley, man? I mean, he just trashed the company with his bipartisan politics.
Yeah.
He screwed your mom? Well, who hasn't? Zing.
Pretty much everything I know about that comes from that Sarah Vowell book, which you should really listen to. It's called Assassination Vacation.
I couldn't find it in your books.
It's in there somewhere.
It's not under Sarah Vowell.
Unless I burnt it to CD. There's a slight chance I might have burnt CD and deleted it.
Asshole.
Yeah. 1958, two rockets designed by the German engineer Ernst Mohr.
I was in Brazil during the war.
The first German post-war rockets reached the upper atmosphere. So.
Adolf!
That's for Dave.
And exactly 1 year later, the Russian probe Luna 2 crashes into the moon, becoming the first man-made object to reach it. So it's pretty amazing what they can do in a year. They go from a rocket that goes to the upper atmosphere to a rocket that reaches the moon. So.
And crashes. There's your crash.
Maybe one day we'll land on it.
I think they crashed it into it on purpose.
I just have a question.
At least that's what they say.
The moon's been eyeing us for years, plotting to destroy us all. So we figured launch a preemptive attack to take them.
1994, the Major League Baseball season is canceled due to strike. You remember that?
Yep. I remember that.
Yeah.
Lucky strike.
Pretty dumb.
And I was only 12.
You know, I really didn't give a shit.
Yeah, me neither.
You were like
secretly glad they did because you knew it'd piss off people you didn't like or something.
I was like, wow, people are irate about that. Air traffic controllers go on strike. It's like, what's on the other channel? My plane can crash, but don't you take away my baseball. Sorry.
2001, the successor to the Nintendo 64. The Nintendo GameCube is released in Japan.
The GameCube is not a monolith, all right?
Could be.
I'll show you a monolith.
Yeah.
So. The monkeys that touch it seem to think they're smarter.
If you want to buy one, you can get one for $60 up at GameStop.
I'm a Nintendo nerd.
I could get one for free.
I could admit that.
From whom?
Just by walking out with it. I just happen to know Did someone that works there, you know, just walk out with it, they look the other way. Shrinkage.
Yeah. 2003.
Man, I thought that was when you jumped in a cold pool.
2003.
Seinfeld. Sorry, go ahead. 2003.
Yeah, in a referendum, Sweden rejects adopting the euro.
Man, fuck Sweden.
Because if they did, then Finland and Norway wouldn't look like a penis on the euro. It'd just mess it all up. So they're deciding. You ever seen that?
No.
Do you want to see it real quick?
I don't want to see the penis. No. Thanks.
Steve, you can keep the penis to yourself.
Okay. We'll post a picture of it. On the internet.
On the internet. It's plural.
That's it.
The web.
You know, you have to admit, though, they did good when they produced the Swedish Chef.
You know who I like? Beaker.
You remember the one where
he was always getting blown up?
Remember the one where they swap personalities?
He was like, yeah.
The scientist. That was so awesome. That was like the best. And then they kept the voices, but they swapped the personalities.
Yeah.
That was great. Anyway. Hmm. Yeah, that was this day in history.
Yep.
Okay, we're playing Imagine My Perfect Circle.
To kill or die for. emotions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. Brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people.
Bigger than any big idea. Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? Peace on earth. To tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are living in the ground, peace on earth. Jesus, in the song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth. Hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth? This peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth.
Yeah, that was Peace on Earth.
That was both of us.
Off of All That You Can't Leave Behind, my favorite U2 album. Always makes me think of Living in Nome and September 11th, so... And I knew you wanted. Did you want to say anything about September 11th or talk about it since it's the 5-year anniversary? Or,
I remember exactly where I was.
I think pretty much everybody does, yeah.
I was unemployed at the time. I was actually at the pit of my life. It was like the most depressing years of my life. I won't go into all that, but I woke up. I was temping for a job I had been laid off of previously. Our boss, Blaine, was out of town. He was in Philadelphia, flying back to Augusta the day of September 11th, which you can imagine made his wife, who also worked there, rather relaxed and calm and, you know, in control about the whole situation.
Yeah.
But I woke up and I heard the news, and it was just, you know, there's a plane crash, a building, I didn't hear World Trade Center. Because if you remember, details were really spotty when it first started. They're like, plane crash, building, and you're kind of like, why is this big? And the people were saying, like, we don't really, you know, you kind of got this air of them, like, they didn't quite understand why they were laying this seemingly unimportant story, you know, plane crash. There weren't really many details. Like, it was maybe a passenger plane, you know, not a big jet or anything like that, no hijacking involved. And then I started hearing more and more about it. I think I remember hearing that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. So I went next door. I didn't have cable. I went next door to my neighbor who did. She didn't know. She had no idea what was going on. We sat down and watched, and right as we turned the TV on was the time that the second plane hit. Then, you know, we watched the first tower collapse. I drove to work thinking, okay, well, this is bad, but it's not going to be that. I was kind of like, this is probably going to be that big. You know, it's horrible, but it's a plane crash.
It was an accident. You
know, no, I didn't think it was an accident when the second plane hit. Nobody thought it was an accident when the second plane hit. I was like, okay, that's bad, but, you know, it can't get much worse than this. And then I go to work, and I saw the second tower collapse, and that's when I was just kind of in a daze. And Dave was freaking out because his brother-in-law, who wasn't his brother-in-law at the time, but still his best friend from childhood, just about, was in the Pentagon. And I think his sister was in D.C. too, and he was concerned about her even though she was nowhere near. You know, your mind does things like that, you know. And we just stayed glued to the TV, you know, for about 4 hours, not really saying much. That was me as a journalist.
Yeah.
So. And then just one little side note. After that, a year later, the Augusta Chronicle runs this full-page ad with this picture of the Twin Towers with smoke coming out of them and this really ghostly photo of George W. Bush. And it's like, to commemorate the heroes of September 11th, we celebrate the heroes in the grocery industry. And it had all these people... This is really tacky, tasteless. You've all probably seen something like that. Like the Franklin Mint September 11th commemorative thing where it's the towers and the card has the picture printed on it and it goes over the perforation. So when you tear the card off, you're basically tearing the towers out.
Nice.
I was living in Nome at the time. And coincidentally, the night before, we had installed our TV satellite service because Josh and I were installing satellite dishes and we had finally got around to installing one. Our two houses, we lived next to each other so we could use one dish and we just ran a cord to the other one. But I was up till like probably about 4 a.m. watching TV, and if I had stayed up probably an hour longer, I would have seen the tower hit, because it's
that's right. Alaska's, you went to sleep. You didn't even know it happened until way after.
Yeah,
I forgot about
that. So I went to sleep about. I went to sleep about 45 minutes before the first tower struck, which was about a quarter to nine, which is, and Alaska's 4 hours off. So, so I got a call about 1 p.m, which would have been about 5 o'clock here. So about 7 hours after the towers fell. And, it was Sarah, and she woke me up and she told me, hey, you know, I don't remember what she said, but she mentioned that the towers had been struck, and I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. So,
knowing Sarah, it probably came out very coherently. And
well, then after she told me, she's like, "So how are you doing? What are you up to?" You know, and I'm like, "Can I let you go? I need to go watch TV or something." You know, so I turn it on, and you know, 7 hours after it happened, it's all just people talking about it and replaying the video over and over and over again, and So I rushed to work because I was working at the newspaper up there at the time, and Tuesday was our deadline day. We have to output our film and all that kind of stuff. So we had to redo the front page and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of a hurry kind of thing. Plus, we had to figure out how to get the negatives to Anchorage because the airport was closed. And you can't get out of Nome without an airplane. And you can't get anything in Anchorage either. So that meant we were going to get our papers late anyway. So it was kind of weird living in Nome.
So you're rushing for...
We ran out of milk and bread because, you know...
Nobody would fly out of
there. Nobody would fly milk and bread in. So terrorists destroyed our milk and bread.
Another memory I have, just real quick, is like a couple days later, I remember going to my parents' house and watching TV and seeing Bill Clinton was at Ground Zero, like immediately after.
Well, he lived in New York at the time.
I know.
Yeah.
He's coming up to these, there's like four or five beautiful women. I swear this had to be a range or something. And they're like, I lost my husband. And he's like, oh, come here. And I was like, okay. Oh, my God. Let the player play, right?
A little bit lower, baby.
Jeez. How shameless can you get? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was a freshman at St. Andrews in North Carolina when it happened, and I was asleep because I didn't have to be in class till like 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I woke up to the chick that lived next to me. There it was about 12 of us living in 7 rooms. And the girl that lived next to me, she was a crazy bitch anyway. And I woke up to her screaming into her phone, and I'm like, what the hell is going on with this girl? And she's screaming something about, you know, airplanes running into towers. I'm like, what the fuck kind of shit is she coming up with now? And I realize she's screaming at her boyfriend, who's Arab. He's Arab, and, you know, he's...
Oh, wow.
And he's... He did not give a shit. He was rooting for his brothers in the Middle East, and...
Wow.
Oh, yeah, we were really pissed about that. But, you know.
Did she break up with him over that?
Probably not.
I think she did.
Really?
I think she did. Because she had several people that she knew that worked in the towers.
Really?
Yeah. And practically everybody in that suite of rooms knew somebody that worked in or near the towers or the Pentagon. But, you know, finally I woke up enough to turn on the telly and seeing, you know, these two smoking towers, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
She's not that crazy. And then my roommate at the time, she's such a skank. she's like...
I think no one listens to this show.
Oh, I don't care if they hear it.
She'd say that to her.
I have said it to her. But, you know, she's such, you know, she new at college, you know, away from mommy and daddy, just a typical college kid, you know, drinking a lot, you know, fucking around with different guys. And, you know, I remember that day. She's just like, I'm gonna be a much better Christian. You know, I'm gonna stop drinking. I'm gonna stop smoking. I'm gonna, you know,
cut down on the blowjobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just 3 blowjobs a week for me.
Yeah, that lasted about a week.
And she was back to her regular 15.
Yeah.
Well, she took the weekends off.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's only 3 days.
Yeah, it was a really trying time. I mean, our classes were semi-canceled, like you had the option to go, but all we would do in the classes was watch the news and what was going on.
There was that weird period where if you didn't show up to work, no one said anything.
It was fine.
It's cool.
Yeah. It lasted about a week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was business as usual, but...
It's weird.
Yeah. I never really thought about it until just now.
Yeah, there was that kind of lull and...
It was the opposite for me. But my boss wanted the website up a day early.
Huh.
So I had to work overtime.
I was just going to work and listening to Lex and Terry. And they actually, when the first plane hit one of the World Trade Center towers, they were talking about it, you know, while I was going to work. Which was weird, because they're always, you know, making jokes, whatever, cutting up, and, you know...
So you admit to listening to Lex and Terry?
I admit to it, yes.
Okay.
Do you remember, I guess...
I actually have a recording of the Howard Stern show on that day, and it's really weird to listen to it.
Really?
Being serious? And
yeah, because they have to totally go out of their format, and they're just talking about it, you know. And they live in New York City, too, so it's a really interesting perspective. So... I can imagine how Lex and Terry...
It was weird that they were not kidding around. I was like, what the crap, you know? And I got to work, and then Brenda comes in with a little TV, and that's when we hear that the second tower was struck, and man, we didn't do a thing. Nobody worked. We were all just like glued to the TV.
Yeah, I think that was pretty...
You gotta remember, where I worked, at the time, there were like, what, 5 TVs? The one in the great room that we all sat around, they had like 4 in the production room. Then Blaine had one in his office. Sally had one next to her office. And then we had like another one in another room for clients if we needed to back up. So there were TVs. I mean, and they were all on, all tuned in the same thing. So you couldn't walk anywhere in the office without seeing what was going on. You couldn't even escape it unless you left. But we didn't want to, so. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single TV in that dorm.
Oh, really?
Was tuned to the same station.
Yeah.
I don't know how many girls I comforted that day, because everybody. I was the only one that didn't have somebody that was up there in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going around, it's okay, you know. Everybody's trying to call people, and of course all the phone lines are tied up then.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too.
Couldn't get through to anybody.
We had a brother of one of our maintenance men was in New York. In the tower. It was weird, man. You know, it's not like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I mean, it's weird that it was, you know, that close. Somebody in our company.
I've joked around at the expense of a lot of the tacky stuff, but that's one I've never really, still even now, really joked about. Like the actual incident itself.
Mm-hmm.
I've joked about Osama bin Laden. I've joked about the terrorists, but I've never joked about, like, the loss of lives there, I don't think. If I have, I didn't realize it. So it
I've never heard it.
So, yeah. There's been a lot. I'm sure you guys have seen the Burger King one, too, right? The to honor the fallen soldiers, you get half off French fries. I should have said freedom fries.
They're back to French fries now. They had an official meeting.
They're French again.
There's an official statement.
The same time they kicked Pluto out.
France is back.
For those,
Pluto out, France
For
in.
Those who don't know, Pluto is no longer accepted as the dog in Disney. Anyway.
Speaking of which.
This week's game.
So this week's game, we're going to do something we haven't done in a while, which is Trivial Trivia.
Yeah. Trivial Trivia. The first set of questions is about our favorite non-planet, Pluto. To commemorate its kicking out Edness.
Thanks, Todd.
Because if you remember the last time we talked about it, it was in grave danger of being
expurgated.
The inviting more non-planets into the club. But I think because all the astronomers listened to my plea about about that, they decided no, we're going to cut it down to 8. Kick Pluto out.
It's just a number now, along with 3 of his brothers.
So the second set of questions we're going to do are about the space shuttle, since the space shuttle just went up. So if you know the answer, go ahead and just tell us. I think we're going to do it. If you get it right, you get a point. If you don't get it right, you don't get a point.
Yeah.
As opposed to the first person answering. So.
Yeah.
So. I'm not going to answer the first question because I saw the answer.
Did you see, you look down at the bottom?
Yeah, I just happened to glance down there.
Okay.
So, I saw the answer.
So that one's out.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'll do question number one for you guys.
Thought it was flat.
I'll just not answer it.
Pluto was discovered in which year? And these are all multiple choice this time. A, 1630.
True.
B, 1730. C, 1830. Or D, 1930.
1930.
I picked number E.
Yeah.
You lose.
The correct answer is D, 1930. Question number two. Pluto is the name, is another name for which Greek god? You got A, Zeus, B, Hades, C, Titan, D, Hera.
I'm pretty sure it's Zeus.
Oh.
Chuck?
I don't think Pluto is Zeus. I think, I don't know, Hades.
Yep, Hades is the right answer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're not going to answer on any of these?
Huh?
She said Titan.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I said Titan. No, Jupiter is Zeus.
Zeus, yeah. Pretty big. Yeah, it's the name of the guy that controls the underworld. The guy that...
Yeah.
The boat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three. Pluto's orbit is so irregular that its orbit actually crosses the orbit of another planet. Which planet? A, Jupiter. B, Saturn. C, Uranus. D, Neptune.
It's Neptune.
Yeah.
C, Uranus.
Did you do that?
Are you saying Uranus?
I really don't know that.
Okay.
Just take a guess.
Uranus.
We're saying Neptune, so.
Yeah. Answer is Neptune.
Sorry, Tuffles.
Chuck just had his head stuck firmly in Uranus.
He just wanted to say see Uranus.
I just wanted to say that.
Number four.
For the record.
In 1988, it was discovered that Pluto has a thin atmosphere, much to the surprise of scientists who believed it was too cold. What is the atmosphere mainly comprised of? A, nitrogen. B, oxygen. C, methane. Or D, benzene.
I was actually going to say another element that's not on the list, so...
That's fine.
I guess I'll go with nitrogen.
I'm going to be different and go with D.
Benzene?
Yeah.
The answer is A, nitrogen.
It's just so high up on the...
Yeah.
It seems, you know, benzene's like kind of complex, so... Why the hell do I know this?
Number five. Recently, the IAU proposed that additional Pluto-sized objects be classified as planets. The proposal would have immediately added three planets to the already recognized nine. Which of the following objects was not included in the proposal? A. Ceres, the largest of the asteroids in the belt between Mars and Jupiter. B. Charon, the largest moon of Pluto. C. 2003 UB313, a.k.a. Xena, a trans-Neptunian object. And D, Sedna, another trans-Neptunian object, named for an Inuit god.
The one from the
asteroid
ring? The asteroids, yeah.
Ceres.
I thought that Xena was going to be...
The asteroid? Ceres?
Yeah.
Answer is Sedna, another...
I was thinking Sedna, too! Damn it!
See, my rationale was all the rest of those are not orbiting something else. And technically, the one that orbits the moon of Pluto is actually in the dual orbit, or whatever you call it, where they're both orbiting each other. So that's why I could see it being, you know, the rationale. And the other
Ceres only orbits the moon.
I thought that Sedna and Xena were both going to be in the category with Pluto.
So. Yeah. All right. Last question in this category. With the reclassification of Pluto as a dwarf planet, another planet now has the distinction of having the most irregular orbit, as defined by Hayek, inclination, and eccentricity. Which planet has the most irregular orbit now? A, Mercury, B, Venus, C, Neptune, or D, Mars?
Neptune.
Yeah, I can see that.
Chuck?
Mercury.
The answer is Mercury. So, you're right.
Well done.
So it has a pretty high eccentricity and...
I thought Neptune, like, and Pluto were constantly changing places.
That's not Neptune's fault, though. That's Pluto's fault for having such a higher Irregular or red.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, onward ho.
I suck at these quiz things.
What's the score?
Chuck has 3 now. Sean has 2, and Kristen has 1.
Ouch.
I suck hard at these.
We're not astronomers. Come on.
That's cool. I know. It's trivial trivia.
Go for something.
You're not supposed to know
expertise.
It. All right, and then we'll talk about the space shuttle. Question number 1. NASA's first space shuttle, the Enterprise, was named after the famous ship in Star Trek. How many complete orbits did it complete in its operational lifetime? A, 0. B, 13. C, 76. D, 540.
I have a feeling it's 76.
Yeah. I'm going to go with C.
I don't know why. Something just tells me it's 76.
I say we've never sent up an Enterprise. I say 0.
Chuck is right. It's 0 orbits. It was the Enterprise was only used for atmospheric tests. Never went orbital.
You heard that 76 is a red herring.
Yep. I figured you would have known it wasn't 76 because it is 76. Okay. 2. How many operational space shuttles are there in existence? A, 1. B, 2. C, 3. D, 4.
B. 2.
Wait. No. There are 3.
Operational?
Yeah,
operational. Key word there. There are 3.
I'm sticking with 2.
If they're not in use, aren't they non-operational?
Correct.
Oh.
Neither.
No. Wait a minute. Operational means we
working.
Can pull it out and ship it. We just because we have it.
Yeah, what Sean said.
Okay.
All right. So 3.
I'm sticking with 1.
1.
2.
The answer is 3. Okay. 3. What are the tires of the space shuttle inflated with? A, helium. B, oxygen. C, nitrogen. D, nothing.
Nitrogen.
Nothing.
I don't know the properties of
I think it's the least flammable
probably,
thing.
Yeah.
What were
maybe
you?
Helium. I thought
it was inflated with something.
So you're saying...
I'm saying nitrogen.
Nitrogen, helium. You're saying helium, Chuck?
Sure.
Okay. And you're saying nothing? Answer is nitrogen. So.
I finally got one.
So if it wasn't inflated with anything, it'd be a flat tire.
No, they could be solid rubber.
That's another possibility, too.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Or maybe some sort of, like, not inflated, but some sort of, like, suspension system, like those new tires that'll never release that they can talk about, you know?
Okay, 4. Approximately how long does it take for the space shuttle to circle the Earth once while in low Earth orbit? A, 30 seconds. B, 30 minutes. C, 90 minutes. D, 24 hours.
90 minutes.
Yeah.
I was going to say 30 minutes. But I don't know.
What you guys said 90 minutes, and he said, okay, it's 90 minutes, so good job, guys.
I'm up to 3.
What's the score?
Are you up to 3?
Okay. I am up to 3.
Chuck has 5, Sean has 4, Kristen has 3. Compared to being on the surface of the Earth, approximately how much gravity is there in the shuttle's low Earth orbit? A, 0%. B, about 50%. C, about 90%. D, about 250%.
50%.
I'm going to say 0.
0.
So go for 90.
That's what I was actually going to go for.
All right.
You want to say 90?
So we're running
the game. The answer is about 90%. So, yeah, there's still gravity. If there wasn't gravity, they'd fling off into space while they're in orbit.
That's right. That's the exact same explanation you gave me when I got it wrong last time.
You weren't dumb about it. So.
Actually, I was just...
Well, actually,
that's the most middle.
It all depends on what do you classify as low Earth orbit. You know what I mean?
Well, that's pretty specific.
Are they still in the atmosphere, or is it... Like,
no, they're in orbit.
That'd be suborbital? That'd
be suborbital.
I don't know.
It's pretty much... What? As
they
far
should,
as you can go without being
stuck back in? Scientists who deal with rockets who determine these things.
Well, that's why the answer is about 90%. Because the low Earth orbit comprises...
It's way funnier than you guys think.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's way funnier.
Okay, last question.
It was rather amazing.
Last question. What are the official odds of a fatal accident occurring during a space shuttle mission as predicted by NASA? A, 1 in a million. B, 1 in a thousand. C, 1 in a hundred. Or D, 1 in 10?
As many...
1 in a 1,000 is what I'm saying. Yeah.
As many space shuttle accidents as there's been in my lifetime, I would think it would be higher.
Almost
than...
half of all space shuttles have blown out. I would...
Or maybe it
say
was...
1 in a million, actually.
1 in a million?
It was. I think it was either 1,000 or 100. I'm gonna say 100. One in 100.
Okay. Doesn't matter for you.
Hmm? Ooh.
Doesn't matter for me.
Yeah. Well, you're so far behind.
I mean.
Okay. Hit him.
I agree. I think they probably say 1 in 1,000or 1 in 100.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 1 in 100.
Okay. Answer is 1 in 100. And
wow.
So far, their predictions have been about true. About right. So.
So we need to make 100 space shuttles. Fill them with puppies and kittens and orphans.
Yeah.
And wide-eyed orphans.
So Chuck got 7 right. And Sean got 4 right. And Kristen got 3 right. So, congratulations, Chuck.
All right.
You get some free chicken fingers.
Bend over. Anyway. So, yeah, that's Trivial Trivia.
Yep.
Yay.
Wasn't that fun?
No.
I think you're crazy.
Now, Harry Logan.
Simply dumb to believe the most incompetent administration in American history pulled off the most complicated stratagem in American history and fooled everyone but a few angry white guys with IQs in the mid-80s. It's just not probable. It's not probable that a guy with a cable show in Austin, Texas, you see, has been pouring out the details of a world takeover on his cable show and on his radio show. And there have been no repercussions. Nobody has waxed his windshield. You know. But as I was saying, the conspiracy people, they just gather anomalies, such as the one about steel buildings. They will say, well, you see, that proves it's a conspiracy. When, in fact, the opposite is true. The opposite is true. If you are planning a hoax, you want it to look totally real. You don't want to put in weird details. You understand? No. If someone is sitting around the planning table getting ready to do something along the lines of 9/11, and if someone says, let's have fire bring down 3 steel buildings in a day, well, it would not get off the drawing board. Don't you see this? It cannot possibly be a conspiracy. If you understand this, you can go home. If not, you have to stay in your cage. I'm sorry, but nobody pulling a conspiracy puts like big clinkers in the middle of the conspiracy. There are anomalies because it's not a cover story. No, it isn't a cover story if it wasn't an inside job. You will notice this little logical fallacy in all the truth movement people, is they will say, do you believe the cover story? Right? Do you believe the cover story? No. That question contains an assumption. That's a logical fallacy.
Isn't that wacky that time?
Did I just find myself agreeing with Perry Logan? Is that possible? He made a pretty bad assumption there, too, because it's put out there like that. That must prove it's not true. That's
really... Yeah. He must be very conflicted. I think the only reason he's against the whole 9/11 truth movement, which is what he mentions a lot, is because Alex Jones supports it. So if Alex Jones hadn't even existed, I wonder if he would be one of the crazy people that...
Because even Michael Moore insinuated at least something about it.
Yeah. Cynthia McKinney.
Well...
Man,
she's a sectarian.
She's an aberration.
She's pretty weird, but I like her. She's just because she's crazy.
She should punch out more security guards.
She's kind of a black feminine Perry Logan.
All right.
So.
Wow.
I wonder if she has a podcast.
Perry Logan.
She's going to hear this.
Saying stuff that actually isn't as wacky as normal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, even a stop clock is right twice a day. He is still a fucking nut job, okay?
I think maybe it's his presentation that gives us the, you know, because that's really the most...
No. He said some wacky shit, too. Like, when he called for the death of all Republicans, that was a bit more than just his presentation.
Yeah, that's a little out there. You can get where he's coming from.
The insane asylum?
Gracewood.
some place that produces people with extra chromosomes? To follow Perry Logan, this is Madman by, I guess, Void and Friends.
Yeah.
I kept trying to get him to do that he recorded two songs for. Never really put that out.
No. And now it's dated. to me.
No,
anyway.
It's really good.
I liked it. I liked it.
It's one of my favorites.
I liked it, too.
The advice column.
Question number one, if you shower in cold water, does it really make your hair shinier? Or does anyone know other ways to make your hair shiny? So, I think it might.
The answer to that is actually yes.
Because it won't wash it as well.
You rinse it and you rinse all the stuff out in warm water, but then you re-rinse it in cold water and it closes the cuticles.
The expansion and contraction of the hot and cold.
Thus making it smoother.
That's a college education right there put to good use.
I don't know.
Are there other things you can do?
Mayonnaise will make your hair shinier.
Well, I was going to say motor oil, but...
10W-40.
I'm giving real answers here.
You know, replace your comb with a stick of butter.
So you know.
Lemon juice will make your hair blonder. Beer will make your hair shinier.
Shellac.
That's what
just
I do.
Go to the hardware store, get yourself some all-purpose, ultra-high-gloss wood sealer.
UV-resistant.
Paint your head.
Polyurethane.
Or just shave
Make
your head.
Make sure you keep all windows and doors closed.
So you'll get the fullest effects of the experience.
The only way it'll get shinier.
Just shave and bake
Everything
your head.
Will turn shiny.
Shiny, happy people.
Your eyes will be shiny.
The glossy. Fumes.
All right, next question. If you smoke chronic marijuana laced with cocaine, is there a possibility that you will become addicted to cocaine alone or both marijuana and cocaine?
I only hope so.
So.
I don't think you'll be alive to care.
When they say chronic marijuana, do you think they mean like the chronic?
The chronic, man.
Or do they mean chronic like all the time?
It's capitalized. So, yeah.
it's the chronic.
It's the chronic brand marijuana.
TM.
Hey, what you doing, Bob? I'm smoking new chronic marijuana. Chronic marijuana lasts longer than those other cheaper brands of marijuana. And hey, the kids like it too.
It can only get so high.
Domestic and Turkish blend.
Or just don't smoke that much, man.
You getting the opportunity where you smoking pot with cocaine mixed a lot there, buddy?
Yeah.
Not you.
I'm just agreeing.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like you need a dealer.
I think it's rather amusing that you bring up this question with the future cop in the room. I will find you.
But you're
the guy on the internet.
You're forensics. You guys just clean up. You're the janitors of the police service.
All right. Hi. I'm so scared to go back to school. School starts September 13, and I have a problem. I'm scared if I have to go to the bathroom at school, like take a number two. I had this problem for a year now. I need help.
A year? You need help?
Good God, that's a long time to be backed up.
My head
Holy back. Fuck.
You afraid your new nickname's going to be Shitbrick.
A year.
Huh.
What are they scared of, you know?
Like pooping in public.
Somebody's going to be outside the stall. I hear something popping in there. You know what?
We've all been in a situation where you're there and you just like, we're talking Vesuvius here, and and you look over and it's a big paper tube.
Oh.
And you ain't at home.
What do you do?
One of those bathrooms where they got the blow dryer things, you know? So you end up drying your ass. Anyway, at least that's what I did.
That's why you always check before you go in, make sure you have toilet paper.
No, not when you're like, oh God, bathroom, bam, you know, and you know.
I still check.
What do you do when you're stranded on a boat? It's the Western, you know.
So that's my advice. Blow dry your ass.
What do you do when you're stranded?
That'll keep you from being running fun of at school. Oh, and when you're doing number two, make sure you go into the bathroom. You'll probably get picked on less.
Okay. Just take your drawers, wipe with that, throw them in the can. Not the toilet. Don't flush them, because they won't flush.
I don't think that's the question here. What to do when you have no TP?
Well, no, they're embarrassed. They're afraid to do number two.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Everybody poops.
Wait till you get to high school. You'll be doing it in a paper bag and putting it in front of the teacher's car.
Put it on fire on the principal's porch.
Anyway.
The queen doesn't move. And when she does, it smells like roses.
And you know this because...
He's experienced it.
I read it on the internet.
I did too.
He downloaded it on the internet. Oh yeah! Queen, watch the queen poop.com.
You know what I would do? I would just... If somebody made fun of you, you know, like, it's, oh, the bathroom stinks. Like, yeah. I did that. I rock.
Yeah.
Poop.
Enough of that.
Constantly,
poop is funny.
You know, elevating. And while we're talking about poop, it's a perfect time to listen to our different Yes Bot. Normally we have Larry telling stories, but this one is actually a friend of ours who shall remain nameless. He asked that we conceal his identity because some of the stories he tells may get him in trouble. He works for a local police department. And so I've done my best to disguise his voice and take everything out of here. But it's him telling stories about interesting characters from the jail that he works at.
Currently.
So, yeah, he works there. He's not in there. So.
It's a good jail.
Yeah.
For me to poop on!
The guest spot.
We've had pretty interesting stories. There's a lot of people down there who make you think that they're crazy. Like this one guy, we call him Shitty. That's his given name, I guess. He has this thing about rubbing his own fecal matter on himself, other people, his cell, and he's gotten very artistic with it. I'm serious. He'll save the ketchup packs and the mustard packs, and he'll make murals on the glass. Yeah. Shit.
Does he get sick? Because, I mean, that bacteria...
Which is really odd.
He's probably immune to it by now. I mean
he rubs it in open wounds and stuff, too. And he doesn't get sick. And he's like a Houdini.
I mean, there's, like, some major, like really bad bacteria in that can, like fuck you up bad.
E. coli!
You can die if it goes untreated.
He is like a Houdini. He's made out of handcuffs and cells and jails and everything else.
By the power of shit.
Why do you sound like Sean fucking Connery, dude?
By the power of shit.
You're the minor dog.
And then there was a guy who had bloody nuts. He was on the HIV ward, and he had to go see the doctor because he'd scratched his nuts bloody, so they made him wear a hairnet on his nuts. And I was like, thank God he's not in the kitchen, but at least we wouldn't have to worry about any hair. Yeah, because I mean, he had to go pantsless except for this hairnet.
Oh, so he's walking around the whole...
in a hairnet on his nuts.
Did they like, cover, like, I mean, was his dick just swinging in the wind or what?
No, it was in a hairnet. It's like a hairnet for your shit, and it's got, like...
Is it made especially
for butt straps, like a cup, like a supporter would have.
Did they make this just for everybody? I mean, is there a place you can buy these things?
Yeah, you can actually get this. This is a medical apparatus for your nuts.
What else would this... I mean, is this for, like, is this a common condition, or...?
On the HIV ward, yeah. Because, this may just be my line of thinking or my logic or whatever, but his roommate, 2 weeks later, was complaining of his ass bleeding. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, guy's nuts bleeding, guy's ass bleeding... Well, all right, it's not a coincidence that there was a connection.
Okay. They probably tried to pass it off.
Yeah.
So. Just normal jail viruses that eat the flesh off certain parts you find.
So, what you told us before, but what else happened to the guy who smeared Shitty. The shit all over
himself?
His name was Shitty, you said?
Yeah, we call him Shitty.
Did everyone in jail, like, or just you guys, the officers?
He was a very... just everybody called him Shitty.
What's up, Shitty?
Everybody's got, like, a jail name.
I mean, when you walk around covering shit, eventually that's going to be...
It's kind of inevitable.
I can't help it.
junk.
Incredibly sexy men.
Mm. Which one?
Hmm? Which both.
One? Oh.
Yeah. I thought so. What? I'm afraid of Americans.
Who's not?
Yeah. So.
Zombie, pirate, ninja, robot, monkey news! Little Men at Luck.
In California, a software pirate gets 7 years in jail. Yeah, you disappointed?
7 years in jail for being a software pirate is kind of...
Now he's a butt pirate.
A California man has been sentenced by federal judge to serve more than 7 years in prison for running a massive software piracy operation that netted him millions of dollars.
Oh, he made money off of it?
Oh, yeah. He was, basically what he was doing, he was selling pirated software on a website, and he made about $5.4 million from the sale of $20 million worth of software.
Holy God.
Damn.
So
he'll get out soon then, that kind of bank.
He bought like multiple houses and cars and a boat.
He's going to have spent $500,000 on that rectal rebuilding.
Oh, I'm in here for murder. What you in here for?
For piracy.
Really? My friend over here, he's in jail for raping guys who kind of look like you.
All right. Now, I got some zombie news. Just a heads up, there's a new zombie movie on the way. It's called Fido. Have you heard of this one?
No.
It stars...
about a zombie dog? That'd be awesome.
No.
it'd be awesome if it was like Lassie, like, you know, but the dog was dead. It'd be great.
Fido. Or Benji.
Yeah.
It stars Carrie Ann Moss from...
Trinity.
One of those movies. Yeah, Trinity.
I liked her better in Memento.
Memento, yeah. It takes place in the 1950s, and it's about a community that has had zombies, but they've basically been able to domesticate them, so they're like their zombie servants.
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, she plays like a housewife, so it'll be interesting to see what she does with that. So
she was a real go-getter.
It just premiered at the Toronto.
Are these Romero rules zombies, I wonder?
I don't know. It's supposed to be, you know, because they have domesticated them somehow.
And they're dead. And they're all messed up.
I'm sure. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
I hope that they at least have some semblance to the Romero rules.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the defining pop culture icon zombie.
Yeah.
I like those
it's been compared
zombies.
A lot to Shaun of the Dead.
Is it a comedy?
I think so, yeah.
It's been
more than once I've seen it. Been referred to.
I think any time a zombie comedy is going to come out now, it's going to be
Shaun of the Dead.
It's going to be any time a zombie comedy comes out, like there's going to be one every year now.
Yeah.
From now on.
Did you see this year's zombie comedy?
It was my favorite film.
It had Reese Witherspoon in it and Keanu Reeves and...
So, yeah.
He played the zombie.
Another film that...
Bob De Niro is such a pistol.
So anyway...
I'm going to play my other... song by U2 that reminds me of September 11th. It's kind of a Valentine for the city of New York, and it's called New York City.
Okay.
So.
Stairwell in New York. Just got a place in New York. In New York, summers get hot. Well into the hundreds. You can't walk around the block without a change of clothing. Hot as a hairdryer in your face. Hot as a handbag. New York, I just got a place in New York.
2 with New York. A little breakbeat they had in there.
Well, do you recognize the breakbeat?
I do, but I can't tell you what the original song is. It's one of those breakbeats I've heard too many times to where it all becomes a blur.
Yeah.
You know, the original's forgotten for me.
Mildred reviews the world.
It was a video game. Tycho.
It wasn't. It was very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't as challenging as I expected it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I beat the game in like 3 days.
Yeah. What is the kid?
Huh?
He's a human being.
He has horns.
So
you played it?
You yeah.
And I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Ico is a video game where you're this little kid with horns, and you lead this blind girl through all these dangerous...
Blind?
She's blind.
I didn't really pick up on...
I didn't think she was blind.
She's just helpless.
Yeah, she's just helpless.
She's blind.
Really?
She's literally blind. Why else would she be helpless?
She's still pretty good about getting around, though.
Yeah. But she doesn't know what she's
doing. She doesn't, run into walls or anything.
Yeah.
Neither do blind people.
If they didn't...
I don't know. You put enough liquor in a blind person and, tie their shoelaces together.
You put enough liquor in me, I'll walk
spin them around a couple times and keep moving the walls.
Put some spikes on them.
I'd probably give it, 3 thumbs up.
Really? I would go for, a full 4.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be one of the greatest PlayStation games ever. I was pretty blown
away. It's pretty short, though.
From what I hear, Shadow of the Colossus is supposed to be superior.
Shadow of the Colossus was superior, yeah. But Ico was damn good.
I think Shadows is probably a 4 for me.
Yeah.
So Ico would be 3 for me. I kind of revert to a Latin pronunciation on that kind of stuff. So since I haven't finished it, I can't think of any thumbs down yet.
But the graphics were just jaw dropping.
Yeah.
I found it very difficult.
Really?
To make progress.
I suck at video games, and I whizzed through that game.
It'll be interesting to see what their next game is going to be. I'm sure they're working on something.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's probably going to be for the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Which is coming out so soon.
It's going to be, probably way above, what they've done thus far. So I've been pretty impressed. I'm going to watch out for those guys again. It makes me want to play Shadow of the Colossus a lot more.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's a much harder game. 2.
What is that?
A song, I believe.
What would you think of Asylum Street Spankers last time I was here?
I didn't really listen to enough, I think.
You heard one song.
It was okay. Sounds like something I'd hear on Suicide Girls on their radio show.
That one song. The other songs are nothing like that one, actually.
They kind of run the gamut of...
Yeah, because they did a comedic heavy metal song called That Persistent Itching.
It didn't strike me as anything that I'd probably listen to a lot, but I probably just need to listen to some more. So.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I've got an album in my chart.
I'll give it 2 thumbs up for now. Maybe 1.
I give it 3.
Because I've only ever really listened to one song. So, what's next?
Wild card. Anything in the universe.
So.
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
As
a person or a musical artist?
Just whatever.
Both. Know. Everything, the whole package.
I'm continually fascinated by him. I think he's a real character.
He is the Howard Hughes of his time.
He's definitely exceeded Howard Hughes, I think. I don't think Howard Hughes lived his...
Eccentricity?
Yes, eccentricity.
Eccentricalness.
I don't think Howard Hughes lived his life so publicly as Michael Jackson did.
Well, the media wasn't...
It's a different time.
The way it does now. I have a feeling whether Michael Jackson wants to or not, he's living publicly.
So.
Not as much lately. He's been kind of quiet.
Well, I think he moved to Dubai.
I thought he was going to France.
The United Arab Emirates. So I'll give Michael Jackson 3 thumbs up, I think, for being so weird. And then maybe 3 thumbs down for being so weird. But yeah.
A weird sick guy.
The world just wouldn't be the same if he doesn't exist.
You know what?
I think it would be the same for the better. And head licking?
Head licking.
Yeah.
He would lick little boy's head.
Yeah, I said I saw him lick the kid. Lick the kid's head.
Lick him.
It tastes like candy. Let's stop right now. Okay. Yeah. So, 1.
Movie or TV show.
Shit, what's that movie where they put all the kids on the island and they kill each other?
Battle Royale?
Yeah.
I haven't seen.
You haven't seen it?
No, you've been telling me to.
That's a crazy movie.
Yeah. You haven't seen it, it's about this classroom of like seventh graders in Japan, in like a not too distant future of Japan, where everything's pretty much the same except like the government is just more of a police state. And so they like kidnap them and put them all on a desert island, put exploding necklaces around them, and tell them they have to kill each other off within 3 days or
they all die.
Yeah. So whoever's left gets to live, basically.
There's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot of dynamics between the characters.
It's not a cheesy film either, because I was just from the plot, it sounds like it might be a kind of a cheesy movie, but it's definitely played off as being very realistic, and you know, it you know runs the gamut on the different emotions that the kids feel. A lot of them just give up. And
It's actually a pretty horrific film, but it's
very violent. It's not something you see in American film, because it's very. I would imagine it'd be very controversial because it's high school students shooting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to watch a movie for that. We just turn on the news.
Nick Cage isn't gonna be in this one.
Sexy as he may be.
I think he's kind of funny looking.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a cab forward face.
But he's still sexy.
He's bald.
Sean Connery is... Oh.
He's bald as all get out.
Nicolas Cage walks into a bar and the bartender says, "So, why the long face?" Anyway.
And he says...
I was really impressed by it. So, I think it's like a 4 thumbs up film. I think maybe it is slightly campy in some parts near the end. But overall, it's pretty good.
Do you think I would like that movie?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I'm going to.
You're never going to see it.
It's guaranteeing me.
You'll see it. You'll see it eventually.
If you like The Old Boy, you'll like this.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a 4 thumbs up movie.
9 is...
British Royal.
British Royal.
I like how you did Prince last.
Well, this time we'll do Queen.
There you go.
Queen.
We're Queen. Just looking at the Flash.
Do Queen.
Dun, 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 dun.
Flash.
I love Queen. I didn't like it when I was a kid because my mom listened to it all the time. But then when I got older, it just kind of
appreciated it a bit more.
Did you get nostalgic a little bit too?
A little bit, yeah. I definitely, especially different albums, because you know she went through different periods as far as what she listened to.
I actually remember the day that Freddie Mercury died. We just played his album all day.
I was the one that told her.
He had a couple. A
couple of good.
He had a very erratic orbit.
We're back to that again.
Eccentric.
Yeah, eccentric, yes. He was an eccentric.
But he didn't lick little boys' heads, so.
Strange enough, not as gay as Michael Jackson. I don't know how that's possible.
He was very butch with his leather pants.
Still. Not as gay as Michael Jackson. I don't know how he pulled that off.
And his biker mustache. So
he was a superb pianist. I'm serious. He really knew how to tickle the ivories.
Why is that duplicitous?
I don't know. It's not. I'm just saying, you're the ones laughing.
You could sit and bang on that piano all day.
I used to have a big crush on Brian May, too.
You did?
Yeah.
Is it the hair?
I think it was.
The mullet.
It was the hair.
Sweet, curly
That's
mullet!
That's funny, because Freddie Mercury's a big crush on Chuck, so...
I think they're probably in my top, like, 20, maybe top 10. So they might be a 5-thumbs band, probably a 4-thumbs band.
4 thumbs.
So 1 thumbs down for maybe dying. Too soon.
That bastard.
That just screws it all up right there.
What was he thinking?
How could he go in?
How dare he get AIDS?
This song is called Ogre by Fingerthing. It's really cool. And if you don't know, Fingerthing is like an upright bassist and a turntablist.
That sounds interesting.
time when the ocean drank Atlantis. And the rise of the sons of Arius. There was an age undreamed of. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Shout out to my girl Chelsea up in North Carolina.
Shout outs to Matt, to Dave, Kazikots.
I guess.
Kazikots. We're going to pronounce it different every week on purpose. This week it's Kazikots.
Kazi's Cats.
Mopey Mops.
Yeah. Snoop Kazikots. Snoop Tommy Todd. Mikey P. Skeletor 1. Oracle.
Mom.
Hello, Mom.
Hello, Mom.
We love Mom.
Has she listened to any of them yet?
No, she was actually asking if there's any way you could, like, put him on a disc.
Whatever.
Maybe our brother.
Mike?
Mikey! Oh, Dewan. Hey, Dewan.
Thanks for listening, Dewan.
At yahoo.com.
Hey, Dewan.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
I want to shout out to, the guys who won't hear it, but the fellas from Youth at Risk, you know,
yeah,
doing our reunion.
There you have it. And cool. Now I leave you with some beautiful sounds I recorded from the Serengeti.
Put the needle on the record when the drum beats go like this. Yeah.
He might hear this crap, you know?
Yeah, right!
I'm not...
He's gonna be dead by the time he finds out about this.
Wow. So brutal.